Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com. If you have a new baby or young children, one of the things you may be thinking about in between diaper changes and afternoon naps is saving money for their education. Will their education begin with a private pre-K or kindergarten? Are you planning on sending them to public school for elementary and middle school? Will a private prep school be in their future? And for most parents, the biggest concern is how to pay for college tuition as well as room and board. In today's podcast, I'll be sharing information about the issues you need to consider as you make your education savings decisions. As you listen, you may want to jot down some notes, maybe even your preferences, as to the options to consider that apply to you and your situation. One, research your free education options. We all pay taxes of some sort or another to support our public school systems. In this country, whether it is property tax, income tax, or sales tax, one of the most important things that we pay for is to give everyone in this country access to a public education, intended to create a literate society that can lead to an informed electorate. Public education can allow those of the least fortunate in our society to grow into the most successful if they can stay in school, learn from interested teachers, and apply themselves to achieve academic success. Part of your planning for your child's education is getting to know what academic choices are available to you without paying extra tuition to a private kindergarten, elementary, middle school, or high school. If you're in a location or city where the public school options in your district are not providing the best quality education available, then you may need to look beyond them or learn how to work within the system to your child's advantage. In addition, some states are considering offering a voucher system where you can look at all the public schools in your area and shop for the best one, spending your allocated tax dollars at the public school of your choice. In Texas, there are charter school options where you can apply to have your child attend tuition-free schools that may be part of a national movement towards excellence in education. KIPP Academy, IDEA Public Schools, BASIS Schools, and others have great track records of keeping students engaged and propelling them into position to apply and attend excellent colleges and universities. In addition, learn about the magnet high schools in your area that offer special curriculums that focus on the arts, international affairs, healthcare, science, technology, and math, and others. You can research your local public schools and charter schools online to see how they rank on test scores, college admissions exams, and college acceptances. If your child is a baby now, you may want to start your school watch to know if your district is meeting the challenge of educating students today. If not, it may be worth looking at moving into another district, either by renting a house or apartment, or by buying one, where the schools have better teachers and offer more to your child. Or you may want to consider paying tuition for your child to attend another public school in another district that may be better than your own. Another consideration to keep in mind is that the children your child goes to school with year after year will become your child's friends and acquaintances, as well as their enemies. You, in turn, will need to reach out and get to know the parents of your child's classmates so you know them and what they're doing after school or on the weekends and in sports as the years go by. My mom's best friend, LJ, claimed that the Brotherhood of Motherhood was the best source of information about what was going on with her children in and out of school. Since these moms heard things from their own children about their friends, things that might not be shared with that child's own mother. Some parents consider their child's social future when selecting a school, wanting their child to be exposed to the children of the educated, the rich, the artistic, the international, or of the same religious persuasion, and to give themselves, the parents, entree to that set of people too. As you research the schools, find out about bullying, drug abuse, and teen pregnancy in the schools where you live. Even private schools can have serious social issues on campus. So find out what you can from other mothers in the area and crime statistics online. If there's a local police substation in your school area, go visit with the officers there about what is going on at the local schools. Once you figure out if you will need to save for tuition for pre-K to high school or if you will merely need to work on a college fund, then you can come up with a plan as to how to save for your child's future. There are many different ways to save for education. I will share the most popular ways with you today, including the features, the tax and financial aid consequences, and how they work. Trust you set up. You can establish a trust for your child with very specific language that stipulates what the money can be used for: education, healthcare, essential needs, or anything else. You can also state that the assets in the trust cannot be borrowed against, protecting it from depletion through borrowing and from being attached to pay off a debt. Establishing a trust requires an attorney, a trustee, with successor trustees listed within the document, and funding. You can also have a clause in there that allows for power of appointment. So if a trustee doesn't wish to continue, they can appoint someone else from either a select list or anyone they would like to. Funding can come in the form of cash, securities, real estate assets, insurance, collectibles, as well as other assets. Gifts to the trust are not tax deductible and do not have a maximum limit, yet gift and estate tax considerations should be addressed as gifts are made to this particular trust. Depending on the financial institution holding these assets, the fees will vary. Copies of the trust document and a tax ID number for the trust will be required to set up the account. Establishing a trust will give the trustee control over the management of the assets and, in addition to that, control over distributing the assets and allowing for the residual to be distributed at a predetermined age of the beneficiary, your child. So, for example, if you wish to make sure your child gets some of the money when they're 21, some of the money when they're 30, some of the money when they're 25, then you can stipulate that in your trust document. The assets of the trust are owned by the trust, not the trustee, nor the beneficiary, having a lesser impact on financial aid than if the assets were owned by the beneficiary. Trusts pay income and capital gains tax on the income earned and are required to file an income tax each year. Currently, tax rates on income for trusts start at 10% and go up to 39.6%. They also would pay capital gains tax, again starting at 10%, going all the way up to 20%. The trustee is entrusted with managing the money for the beneficiary and is held to a fiduciary standard of management of those assets, charged with making decisions that are prudent in the current market environment. Uniform transfer to minors accounts. You can establish a uniform transfer to minors account, formerly known as a uniform gift to minors account, where the assets are actually owned by the child and managed by the custodian of the account, who is usually a parent, grandparent, or other family member, or anyone else. Most brokerage firms or mutual fund families can set these accounts up easily without the need for a lawyer. You will, however, need a Social Security number for your child. Account fees will differ depending on the company and their policies. These assets can be used for any purpose benefiting the child before he or she reaches legal age. There is no maximum contribution for the UTMA accounts, that's the Uniform Transfer to Minors Accounts abbreviation, but grandpa and grandma may want to make sure their gift does not generate any additional gift or estate tax. The allowed annual gift, not subject to gift tax, allowed under current tax law is $14,000 per year. and it can be made in the form of cash, stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, as well as insurance, and deposited into the UTMA account. Contributions made to UTMAs are not tax deductible. The income on the first $1,050 of income is tax-free, with the next $1,050 taxed at your child's rate, which is usually around 10%, and then any amount over $2,100 will be taxed at the parent's tax rate, which currently tops out at 35%. The assets in this account belong to the child for purposes of completing financial aid forms. Final distribution occurs when a child arrives at legal age, which can be anywhere from 18 to 25 years of age, depending on the state. These assets can be distributed in kind without generating any capital gains tax at the time of distribution. Coverdell Education Savings Account, also referred to as Coverdell IRA accounts. The Coverdell Education Savings Account is another type of account that can help pay for the expenses of college, but they can also be used for any public, private, or religious elementary, middle, or high school. Whoever establishes this account must have their modified adjusted gross income to be less than $110,000 per year for a single person and less than $220,000 per year for a couple filing jointly. A maximum annual contribution of $2,000 a year is allowed per beneficiary. These contributions must be made in cash and can be invested with any bank or investment firm that offers the Coverdell plans. Fees for the accounts vary with different institutions, ranging from $0 to $7 per year, depending on the investments chosen and the delivery method of statements. The funds can be invested in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and other investment vehicles, but cannot be invested in life insurance. The investments grow tax-deferred, and no tax is paid if the expenses covered are qualified expenses that include tuition, fees, books, and tutoring. For primary or secondary education, if room and board, uniforms, and other items are required for attendance, they are also considered eligible expenses covered by distributions from the Coverdell ESA. Computer technology and internet connectivity is also an allowed qualified expense. Coverdell ESA accounts can be owned by the student or the adult establishing the ESA. For purposes of financial aid impact, student ownership has greater effect than parental ownership. Any funds not used for one beneficiary can be rolled into an account for another beneficiary. Ultimately, the assets in the account must be distributed within 30 days of the beneficiary turning 30 years of age or at the time of death if that occurs prior to the 30th birthday. 529 plans. Another means to save for education are the 529 plans, also known as qualified tuition plans, QTPs, that are offered by various states or colleges and universities with differing benefits. Contributions cannot exceed the amount necessary to pay the qualified educational expenses of the beneficiary, which means that if you think your child is going to attend public university, which right now looks like it's going to cost $222,000 over 4 years, that's like 18 years out, or private, which will be about twice that, $444,000, for a four-year stint, then that will be kind of the magic number for how much can be contributed, which is a lot of money. Some 529 plans are prepaid tuition plans, while others are savings plans. So you need to read the boilerplate, the fine print, and make sure that you know not only which kind of plan you're looking at, but also if it is only going to be paying tuition for public schools in your state? Are there some private schools? If there are private schools, will it be all the tuition or just a portion of the tuition? These are some things that you'll have to look at. Gifts made to 529 plans are subject to lifetime gift and estate tax considerations. And this year's allowable amount, as I mentioned before, is $14,000 per person. That can be given without affecting gift and estate tax, but if someone wants to make a larger gift, then those consequences need to be looked at. There is one beneficiary per plan, and the party who establishes the 529 plan account is the custodian who can direct the distributions from the account. Beneficiaries can be changed for these plans as long as the new beneficiary is a member of the original beneficiary's family. That can be a brother, sister, parent, stepbrother, stepsisters. There's all kinds of members of a family. In addition, the assets in one 529 plan can be rolled into another one for the same beneficiary or for that of a member of the same family. So yes, you can set up multiple 529 plans. You can have different custodians, and they can either be put all into one, or the money from one can go for maybe college tuition, the other one for room and board. Again, to be able to grow tax-free in a 529 plan, the money has to be used for qualified educational expenses. And they're only for post-secondary education. So they're not for primary school or middle school or high school. They're only for college or postgraduate education as well, like medical school or law school or something like that. These qualified expenses include tuition, fees, books, room and board, and technology equipment or services. Colleges, universities, vocational, or post-secondary educational institutions are eligible recipients of these funds. One cloud on the horizon for 529 plans concerns comments made during this year's State of the Union address when the president mentioned changing the tax-free status of these 529 plans. So if you, regardless of which one of these ways you choose to pick to save for college for your child, you need to keep up with the tax laws as they change as the years go by. 18 years is a long time. There could be a lot of changes in the status of the money that goes into these accounts. So that's something to kind of keep up with. You don't want to find yourself in a tax bind later on because the laws have changed and the money that you take out now is subject to tax. Deciding which 529 plan to select is based on the features of the plan. Some require that you live in the state that offers the plans. Others will allow you to establish a plan and utilize the money for colleges and universities in any other state. If you have a career that may involve your moving from one place to another, you may want to keep that in mind as you make a selection, although rollovers are allowed from one plan to another. Two things to look at beyond the flexibility of the plans are the annual fees and the mutual funds offered by the plans. Consider the performance of the family of funds at the same time you are looking at the fees. Abysmal performance will not be able to offset high fees. Yes, past performance is not an indication of future performance, but there are companies that have more experience and more time in the investment business who want you to not only invest your college savings money with them, but they also want your other money as well. You may want to take a look at Morningstar's 529 Plan Center. You can search for that on the internet. The website for www.savingforcollege.com and the College Savings Plan Network's website, which is found at www.collegesavings.org for more information. Ownership and control. Setting up your own trust allows for selection of trustee and gives more control over the money to that trustee. There are tax issues because this money does not grow tax-free, but there are many investment choices to choose from, and so many ways assets and funds can be contributed to the fund. The trust itself is a separate entity and has a definitive distribution age that can be determined by the grantor. If the grantor or trustee pass away, the trust continues to function and there are no estate tax consequences at that time. The money in a trust can be used for the purposes noted in the trust indenture document created by the grantor. So if you only want it used for education, you can put that in. If you want it for any needs for the child, you can put that in. So it kind of depends on what you're trying to accomplish when the trust is established. Uniform transfer to minor accounts are controlled by the custodian and are to be distributed at legal age. If the custodian passes away, a successor can be named and there are no estate tax consequences. The beneficial owner of the assets is the minor for whom the accounts are established. After all, it's their Social Security number that is on the account. Money can be used for any purpose that benefits the child, such as going to camp, buying a car, health expenses, or pre-K to graduate level education. Coverdell Education Savings Account assets belong to the beneficiary, and in the event of the death of the custodian, there is no estate tax. These must be funded in cash and invested in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, but not life insurance. The funds can be used for any education expenses for primary school through postgraduate education. The issue of ownership of a 529 plan is important to consider for estate planning purposes. If an older adult is the owner of the account that benefits a minor child, then upon the owner's death, there may be estate tax or estate distribution issues. Consider education funding to be like building a layer cake, using several of these options over the years. Because you don't know what the tax laws are going to be like and you don't know what's going to happen in the future, having money in different pots not only allows you to have different kinds of assets in those that money invested in different kinds of assets, but might end up actually being a smarter idea over the long term. You may want your child to attend a private high school, so you may want to consider setting up a trust, an UTMA account, or Coverdell ESA if you qualify, so that the money is growing and available during those years. Keep in mind if you have family members who are eager to help you fund your child's college education, and people are at different income levels, you may want to ask people who, say, qualify for the Coverdell ESA to give their money to a fund or set up a fund like that for your child so that they can feel like they're part of the action. And at the same time, you're kind of covering all the bases. On the other hand, if you plan to go to public school all 12 years, then college savings may be all you need to prepare for using a 529 plan or a trust or an UTMA that gives you tax-free growth. The UTMA and the trust do not give you tax-free growth, only the 529 plan. Sorry. If you are in the position to fund multiple options, then consider some money set aside in an UTMA account for your child to have as a small nest egg of their own they reach legal age. If your child receives financial gifts over the years from family and friends, then you may be morally required to create an account that belongs to your child and your child only and is only for his benefit. You may be at odds with your child when they reach legal age, but at least they will have something to get started on for the road that they choose for themselves at that time. How you save for your child's education is up to you, your knowledge of investments, and the amount of money you have to spare to invest in your child's future. Making regular deposits to your child's education fund and reviewing the results every year will allow you to successfully tweak the choices that you make. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com, and we will cover them in future shows. That's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S for you.com. Also, check out the website at www.moneysmartsforyou.com. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.